Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
MPD responds to fatal shooting. On Sunday, June 18th, at approximately 5:50 p.m., officers with the Midland Police Department responded to a call regarding a gunshot victim. Bradley Joe Smith, 61, was located on the scene deceased with gunshot wounds. Initial investigation revealed Smith entered a home in the 900 block of North D Street and began assaulting a male resident. In an act of apparent self-defense, the homeowner shot the suspect, a news release said. The next of kin has been notified. The investigation is ongoing. Literacy Coalition of the Permian donates books to Rope Youth. Midland, the Literacy Coalition of the Permian Basin, will be delivering a substantial load of books to the Rope Youth event held at the Boys and Girls Club of Midland from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Tuesday at the Boys and Girls Club of Midland, Health Park Club, 110 East New Jersey Avenue, Midland. The delivery of books to the Rope Youth event serves as a testament of their ongoing commitment and dedication to instilling a lifelong passion for reading in the hearts of children. Budget compensation plan up for consideration, ECISD. A deficit budget and compensation plan will be tackled by the Ector County ISD Board of Trustees during their regular meeting at 6 p.m. Tuesday in the first floor boardroom of the Administration Building, 802 North Sam Houston Avenue. The current total tax rate is $1.17792 per $100 valuation. Chief Financial Officer Deborah Otmores said they will recommend the tax rate stay the same. It will be considered in September. A public hearing on the 2023-24 budget is on the agenda for the meeting. Anticipated total revenues for 2022-23 is $319,895,612, but anticipated expenditures are $330,050,000. Otmores said they anticipate using $10 million of fund balance to make up the difference. The anticipated fund balance at the end of this year is $100,495,046. For 2023-24, it is anticipated it will be $86,574,997. A salary study for the Texas Association of School Boards recommended a 3% increase for all campus and central office professionals, starting salary for new teachers at $60,600, and a 3% increase for hourly employees. All central office staff shall be included in a 3% increase of the new midpoint of their pay grade. There are additional areas for compensation in 2023-24, such as stipends, supplemental pay, and a principal incentive, which is in the works. Associate Superintendent Athletics, Human Capital and Operations, Anthony Cirola, said the pay is about $2,000 a year for teachers. Midland ISD currently increased their starting teacher salary to $60,500 and a bus driver hourly rates to $25 per hour. At the board's June 13th meeting, Superintendent Scott Murray recommended the board approve increasing salaries even though it will run the district into a deficit. Murray said the basic allotment pay per student is $6,111 and hasn't changed in 4 years. Murray said June 13th, the governor is going to have a special session on funding. Until then, what we have is what we have. In other business, Discussion of and request for approval of Board of Trustees recommendations for naming committee. Membership for Dowling Elementary School Playground. Discussion of and request for approval of the 2023-2024 District Improvement Plan. Discussion of and request for approval of the Federal Demonstration Partnership, FDP, Data Transfer and Use Agreement from Brown University to Stanford University. Under Board Policy, discussion of and request for approval of revisions to Local Board Policy, EIC Local Academic Achievement Class Ranking. Discussion of and request for approval of UIL Exemption List for the 2023-2024 school year. Discussion of and request for approval of revisions to Local Board Policy, FM Local Student Activities. Discussion of and request for approval of TASB Local Policy Update 121 Policies, CFB Local Accounting Inventories, and FD Local Admissions. One dead, one injured in crash near Kermit. A two-vehicle crash near Kermit has left one person dead and another injured. The crash between a 2019 Peterbilt truck with trailer and a 2015 Chevrolet Silverado pickup occurred at 5:30 a.m. June 17th on State Highway 302, about 5 miles west of Kermit. The preliminary information revealed that the Peterbilt and trailer driven by Yvonne Gonzalez Barbarossa, 55 of Kermit, was traveling eastbound on State Highway 302. The pickup driven by Andrew Cervantes, 24 of La Jolla, Texas, was traveling westbound on State Highway 302. A Texas Department of Public Safety report said Cervantes failed to drive in a single lane and veered into the eastbound lanes of traffic, striking Gonzalez Barbarossa. The Silverado then caught fire and Cervantes was pronounced deceased at the scene. Cervantes was wearing a seatbelt, the report said. Gonzalez Barbosa was treated and released at Winkler County Hospital. The report said he was not wearing a seatbelt. The accident was investigated by Trooper Abel Maldonado, Texas Highway Patrol, Monahans.
ELAM, Say AI to Improve Your Portfolio, by Dennis Elam. Our campus got a new building by naming it the STEM Science Tech Engineering Mathematics Building. NVIDIA declared itself the AI, Artificial Intelligence Company, and wow. Check out the graph for NVDA and Apple on my blog, themarketperspective.com. It hit another new high at 434 today. Not bad, beginning the year around 150. It has spiked both momentum indicators to about as high as the charts allow. What fun! If you ignored my advice and jumped on NASD Tech, you are up 13 to 16% this year. And more analysts are noting other stocks jumping into the rally as well. Apple is also in the nosebleed territory. I have covered social mood at market bottoms, still depressed and not believing the developing rally. This is hardly the case today. FOMO, fear of missing out, is causing quaint computer programs to buy tech, and so, surprise, tech goes up. Unweighted SPXEW and the transports are still way below the February highs, but who cares amid the declaration of a new bull market? The past is littered with reversals at this point. Patience. Speaking of energy markets, my recommendations of Newstar NS, Patterson UTI PTEN, Cleveland Cliffs CR, Mesabi Trust MSB, and Frontline FRO have all gained in price, and most sport nice dividends. Big news in the basin, Patterson UIT and NextTier agreed to merge. PTEN is up from 10 to 12, reversing today on the merger news. This merger of energy service land-based companies is similar to the offshore companies which gave us RIG, the old SEDCO and friends. Oil prices remain stalled at the $70 level. Rosneft, the Russian oil company, is arranging forward sales by auction of as much oil as can be produced. Russian oil has traded as much as 40% discount to Brent since the war started. And good thing is Russia faces the worst labor crunch in years. Young men are either being drafted or fleeing the country. Russia is attempting to tax those who left the country and now work from abroad to Central Asia. At home, various incentives are offered to convince others to stay. French-made Starstreak shoulder launch missiles are going into production, but deliveries are a year off, the usual sad story for Ukraine. The field of GOP contenders widens to 10. Will this repeat 2016 with Trump taking a plurality until he leaves the pack behind? Who will America tire of first, Trump, who could have simply returned the papers, or the DOJ? Both will be getting more publicity than we want till the election. How about a news blackout on both of them? Sparks releases statement on Perryton tornado. Perryton, Texas, State Senator Kevin Sparks visited the city of Perryton Friday morning, following the sudden tornado that destroyed many parts of the city. The amount of destruction the people of Perryton experienced Thursday afternoon was simply catastrophic, Sparks said in a news release. After touring the damaged areas of the city, it is clear that Perryton will have a long road to recovery. However, after talking to community leaders, I'm confident that the residents of Perryton and the surrounding communities will come together to support one another and rebuild this great city. I was very impressed with the Texas Department of Emergency Management. Their prompt and thorough response to the situation brought support to the hardworking officials of Perryton. The Texas Department of Emergency Management has been assessing the situation and providing relief alongside several other agencies immediately following the storm. Governor Abbott has also directed TDEM to coordinate with the Texas Department of Transportation, the Texas A&M Forest Service, the Texas Department of State Health Services, and other relevant agencies to provide traffic control, incident management teams, and the delivery of supplies, among other necessary recovery efforts. The following locations in Perryton have been set up for those in need of immediate assistance. Meals. United Supermarkets, located at 2806 South Main Street, will be serving free food to first responders and impacted community members from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. Cooling Center. The Red Cross is hosting a cooling station for people impacted by the tornado and the Community Worship Center, located at 2210 Southwest 15th Avenue in Perryton. Donations Collection Site. Food, clothes, toiletries, and other items may be donated to the Community Worship Center, located at 2210 Southwest 15th Avenue, Perryton, Texas, 79070. Volunteer Reception Center. A reception center for volunteers wishing to assist with relief efforts can also be found at the Perryton High School cafeteria, located at 1200 South Jefferson Street. It is encouraging to see people from all over the state of Texas help in this recovery effort. It will take some time, but Perryton will rebuild. In the meantime, I would strongly encourage you to pray for the families who tragically lost loved ones, those recovering from injuries, and the city of Perryton, Sparks said in the release. Hi, my name is Caitlin, and I'll be reading articles from the Odessa American. UTPB College of Engineering hosts Spring Order of the Engineer Ceremony by Cameron Wesson. Recently, UTPB's College of Engineering hosted its Spring Order of the Engineer Ceremony for students and faculty at the Engineering Building. The Order of the Engineer is an independent organization started by a group of engineers in Ohio in 1966. Faculty member Ahmed Al-Zabai said the organization was created to foster a feeling of pride and dedication to the engineering profession. The Order of the Engineer is a national organization whose purpose is to foster a spirit of pride, individual integrity, and responsibility in the engineering profession. Al-Zabai said, "It promotes ethics and professionalism in the practice of engineering and bridges the gap between education and practice." There were 22 students initiated in the presence of many of their family, friends, and faculty members. Membership is voluntary and open to seniors and graduate students enrolled in ABET-accredited engineering programs.
Dear Abby, readers provide tall tales about dealing with height. Dear Abby, regarding tall person sympathizer, February 28th, whose very tall husband and son hate the comments they receive. I am 6 feet 8 inches tall, so I can relate. One does feel like part of a freak show and have to deal with things most average height people don't think twice about, like, can I fit in that car? Or where can I buy clothes that fit? And that tired basketball question. Yep, even at my age of 64, I still hear it. But the questions don't bother me much anymore, except for how's the weather up there. Now, when someone asks the question, I quickly respond with the obvious wrong answer of 5'6". It always gets a laugh, and there usually is a little small talk after that, and I may even ask them their height. Then I tell them I am 80 inches tall, which is true, and let them figure it out. Seriously, though, most people look favorably upon you and wish they themselves were taller. I'll add, from my memory of my youth, it sure didn't hurt in attracting the ladies. James in Delaware. Dear James, I received a tall stack of responses about that letter, almost all of them upbeat and fun. Several suggested the helpful retort when asked if they play or played basketball. Short person, do you play basketball? Tall person, no. Do you play miniature golf? Most readers emphasized the positivity of accepting all of our unique differences. Read on for another gem. Dear Abby, my granddaughter was 6 feet tall by the time she was a sophomore in high school, and yes, she received a lot of comments about it. She told me that when she was 15, she decided to embrace her height, and she did. During her senior year, she auditioned for Miss Local High School and performed a monologue about what it was like to be a 6 foot tall girl in high school. With jokes and good humor, she addressed the questions of playing basketball and volleyball and said she did neither. But she finished by saying that the best thing about being so tall was that she was able to help all the old, bent-over folks in the grocery store when they needed an item on the top shelf. She didn't win the contest, but she did bring laughter to the audience. Today, she's a successful businesswoman with a boyfriend who is even taller. She has never considered her height a problem, so it isn't. Carol in Florida. Dear Abby, I have a dilemma. A decades-long friendship ended last year after an unfortunate, painful event. I have items he loaned me. What do I do with them as we are no longer in contact? Should I ship them to his house? Donate them to a charity? Neither seems like a good idea. I'm not angry, but I can no longer let this person be any part of my life. What is the right thing to do? at a loss in the Midwest. Dear at a loss, the right thing to do would be to send the items to his house. They are not yours to donate. They are his property.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.